Okay, my friends, we're going to start now speaking, learning the Chovetz Talmidim. We're up to the end of the 12th Perek. We're getting close to the end of the 12th Perek, and it's almost over. There's 13 Prokim. So as we're ending the 12th Perek, it could be we'll end up making a Siyum on the Sefer in New Bloomfield. It's not Bloomsfield, it's Bloomfield. No one hold it against me. But let's see. See how this works for us. We have Ezra Bogopolsky, by the way, is on the call. What? Who wants to know? Yuri? He should record this. Okay. Aaron Solomon just left the meeting. Bogopolsky is in the meeting. Ezra's birthday yesterday.
Yes.
Ah, mazel tov to Ezra.
Thank you.
Big news. Yeah. Okay, my friends. Here we go. We're on page Kuf Zayin. I understand probably most of you don't have Svarim. If anyone wants a Sefer Chovetz Talmidim, let me know. We can have it ordered for you. The sooner you let me know, the better, because hopefully we'll get an order sent up. Baruch Kunstler is going to take orders. If anyone wants to go over to Baruch, and he'll let me know, we'll get this going. If anyone wants a Derech Hashem, I ordered 10 of them. If anyone wants more of them, you let me know. We're going to be learning Derech Hashem also together, or any other Svarim that you need. Just let me know, my friends. Hopefully we'll be able to provide it for you. Just go easy, okay? Baruch's like, oh, wow. Okay, here goes, my friends. Page Kuf Zayin on the bottom. L'chein kol inyin. L'chein kol inyin. Sh'ata bo lilmoid. You're coming to learn. Im tokel eso inyin be'einecho leimor. If it's easy in your eyes. And you think, eh. Ah, come on, what could it already be? Maseches Rosh Hashanah. It can't be so, like, can't be that much lumdus over there. Ze'inyin kal v'noyach lahavin. You think it's easy and it's as koshe kvar she'teirei le'soich amkoi. It's already going to be hard for you to get into the depths, to be able to really crack it, to understand it. Ulefamim. And sometimes you even make mistakes in poshut pshat. Because if a person doesn't take something seriously, so then he's not going to be able to understand it. Chazal told us to Gemara in Yuma, atikosa kasha micharita. Something that's old is harder than something that's new. Something that you learned already is going to be harder than something you didn't learn before. To review something and to get it clear is harder than something. Why? Because I don't have to concentrate so much. This is an easy one. I won't have to work so hard. I learned this already. You know, most of the times with me, I don't have the greatest memory. So whenever I learn something, so I have a like vague idea. I remember, oh yeah, it's a ritual, right? Oh, ritual. What does ritual pay? You know, the ritzvah, it's that thing, you know, whatever. Berech. And you don't really spend the effort to really try to figure out what's going on, because you think, yeah, I know it's someone. Kivin shekvar lamadti. V'kivon she'eino mishanes es masnov, being that he is not strengthening himself, u'mischazek b'kol koichoy ladavar, and he's not putting all of his concentration into it. Ein nafsho yoytzeis. So then his soul doesn't come out. Le'echoiz, to grab the inyan, this topic. Ve'la'avoid, and to work on it. Ulahamik boy, and to try to get to the depths of it. To dig. Eino mevinoi. He won't understand it. Even something you think is so simple. But if you're not focused, if you're not really in the zone, you're not going to get it. Avol mi hu ha'ish. But who would be the type of person? Asher lo yovin, that doesn't understand. Ki chol inyan b'toira amuk amuku. Every inyan in Toira, it's so deep, it's deeper than deep. Ukeshe yisyageya, and if you just work hard on something, ukeshe yamik, and you try to dig deeper than the surface, yagia el emek hamelech. You can reach the emek is like the valley, the depths of the Melech Malko Shaloylam. You can get there. You can dig into Torah. One of the things that I love about, for example, when I learned Shvile Pinchas, is you see that some things that they look like so like random or so like irrelevant, there's like such deep like ideas there. And you learn Gemaras, and sometimes people say, we're learning Rosh Hashanah, the depths that were there in Ru Bezdin, Kiddush HaChodesh, and in Shofar, and we're just starting, and all the things that you can reveal in something that people could have looked at and said, okay, this is easy. There's no such thing as easy. Who is a person, Ayid, that his entire soul will not shudder? Not say slikras. If he's going now to greet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is no end to Hashem, to the Torah. And he will not work with all, every ounce of strength that he has. We're trying to get into Hashem's mind, Kaviyachol. We're trying to understand the Das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's for sure so deep. Every single nuance. We always have to be on our game. Betach yesh lecha zamanim. For sure. You have moments. Sha'achar shelo marita. After you have learned. Eze chiddush toiv. You came up with your own good chiddush. And you heard a good vart. V'nispa'alta mimenu. When you were like nispa'al, you were amazed by it. For sure, you have this like a certain tinge. We're going to use the word jealousy. Shel kedusha al tanoim amoroim shar goinim v'tzadikim. Tanoim v'amoroim is like a long, long time ago. Yishoinim achroinim. Even sometimes, just some of the Talmidei Chacham that were around. Sometimes you ever like have like a conversation with the Talmid Chacham, and you're like, you're really in it. And you're really like feeling like you're really like, you got this, sugya, and you're like, you know what? I'm jealous. I'm just a little, like, I wish I could do this all the time. I wish I could always be, like, in this, like, be a part of this constantly. Leimor, haloi gam heim yilidei aisha. They're also human beings. Hayu, they were. Umikol makom zachu legalois kol kach toiris Hashem boilom. They were zoicha to reveal so much of toiris Hashem in this world. And they have lit up the entire base Yisrael. Even in Shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is quoting them. And they're human beings. They were born just the same way we were. And I'm just this little worm. Ma erki bein arayos shel merkava ila. What is my value amongst these lions of Hashem's chariot of merkava? First, I can feel that way sometimes. Avalama tistapek beruach akino. Why is it enough just to be jealous? That's good, by the way. It's kino of kedusha. It's good to be jealous. But why is that enough just to be jealous? Why don't we just try to follow their lead? Do what they did. The Midrash says that if a person sees a cookie that's very, very high up, it's out of reach. You could say, I'll never get it. It's out of reach. Or you could say, well, someone had to put it there. So if someone could put it there, I could get it from there. They're human beings the same way we are. How did they get up there? If they got up there, we could get up there. So why don't we just follow their lead? Re'ena, they call gadlus nishmasam v'tzidkasam. However great their neshama is, however great their piety is, their tzidkas. She'en lano hasaga, ma'am, we have no clue what that is. Kama hisyago'u ve'ovdu. How hard did they work? How much effort was it? Mikol ha'olam hisrachaku. They had to distance themselves from the world, from their distractions. V'la'avoidas ha'toyra hismasru. They gave themselves over to work in Torah. And when they were learning, how hard were they working? When Rabbi was learning, he was sitting on his fingers, and his fingers literally were like oozing blood. He was so in the zone, he was so focused. You think that Rabbi, he was brilliant. It probably was like easy. It was like nothing for him. It was probably like, you know, like just like butter, the way that he learns. Just like, it wasn't like that. It wasn't like that. People make a big mistake. Find me one Gadol B'Torah that told me that he had an easy time. Find me one of them. I don't think you will. Everyone has to work hard. Everybody. So if we like have any type of, we use the word jealousy or any type of feeling of, you know, I wish I could be like that. I wish I could, but I can't. So we could. It boils down to one thing. Roll up your sleeves and start to work. That's the only way it's going to happen. And that is the way that it will happen. And we know many, 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 many stories of great giants in Torah that weren't particularly intelligent. They weren't particularly successful as kids. What happened? They just decided, I'm going to put all my energy into my learning, and then a miracle happens. It's happened so many times. The most famous is Rabbi Akiva. People make a mistake, says Rabbi Saul Salanter. People think Rabbi Akiva, he never got around to learning until he was 40. He says, that's not the pshat. Rabbi Akiva tried learning. He hated Talmid HaChacham because he felt rejected, because he tried and it didn't go. It was like his head was like a rock. Nothing was going in. So that's why he didn't learn. Until finally he realized you could penetrate a rock with water if you just keep dripping on the rock. Don't stop. Don't stop. Keep going. And Rabbi Akiva at 40 years old says, okay, I'm going to give it a shot. He had support from his wife. I'm going to give it a shot. And he put everything on the line. Everything. He left his wife and he just pounded, and against all odds, because he said, I tried this already. It didn't go. His wife said, you got to go 100%. Go 100%. Go hard. You'll see it all work. And he did it. And he became so big in Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see Rabbi Akiva's shear, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, I don't even know what he's talking about. That's how great he became. And he started at 40. And he started with a head like a rock. It's Yadua Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berliner, known as the Netziv. Who was Yadua, was famous, the Netziv, was a low Yitzlach. He was from a very illustrious family, and he just couldn't get it right. It was famous. The Netziv was, people used to laugh at him when he was a kid. Famous. It was actually, the story was, there was a pivotal moment when it happened. He was sitting at the Shabbos table, and he tried saying a Vart at the table. This thing is part of the Berliner family, Reb Chaim Berlin, and all these, the Volozhin, the whole dynasty. Tried saying a Vart, and it was like, it didn't clap one word with the other. It was like a no-go. And he's looking around the table, and everyone's like, either looking down or whatever. It's like, what is he saying? And it hit him hard. And he said, enough, enough. He ran out of the house, and he ran into the basement. He would not leave the Beis Medrash. I'm not leaving here until I get this right. And he sat there, and he sat there, and he was always in the Beis Medrash. And the Bacharim were like, he's like, does this guy ever sleep? Does he ever eat? Now, okay, you know, maybe this is a little bit much for us. But it was to the point where they used to try to like find times that it wasn't in the Beis Medrash. There's like, they like get up early in the morning, he's there. The night is like, they couldn't. Everyone's trying to figure out, when is he not in the Beis Medrash? He was like a pillar of the Beis Medrash. Netziv is a pillar. He was called the Pillar. And he came out with his sefer. Hamik Dover is a sefer on Chumash, Merume Sada. And the family couldn't even believe that it was from him. They couldn't believe it. It's like, it's not possible. This, how did you do this? Shvach a cup. Where did this come from? And then the Tziv said, if it wasn't for that moment, that epiphany that I had, I would have gone to Shemaim, and I probably would have been a shoemaker. I would have gone to Shemaim, and they would have said to me, Where's the Hamek Shiloh? Where's the Hamek Dover? Where's the Netziv? I would say, what are you talking about? I'm a shoemaker. What do you want me to write? Svarim? What are you joking? They're like, no, I want to see your sefer. Where's your sefer? Like, sefer? I'm a arts gummer. I'm a shoemaker. I'm a nobody. I can't learn. I shvach a cup. But he got it because he didn't give up. And he worked and he worked and he worked. And these stories go on and on. Or Pesach Pruskin was also the stipler. Reb Chaim Kanievsky. I heard from two different people. One of them maybe is in this room. I heard it from Reb Moshe Silverberg, who's a Rosh Hashiva, who told me that someone that was in Reb Chaim Kanievsky's class said Reb Chaim Kanievsky was the weakest boy in the entire class. I've said this so many times because it's very inspiring for me. I'm talking about a yid that makes a siyum on Kol HaTorah Kula every single year. I'm talking about a yid that you could ask him where something is and he can tell you on the spot anywhere in Torah. One of the Gabayim told me, someone asked him about a specific Maimer Chazal. It took him around 15 seconds to go through the entire, it said, it's not in Bavli. You can do that. Like, how could a person do that? Reb Chaim Kanievsky is not normal, right? He was the schwachest boy in the entire class. You might not believe that. You're like, how is it possible? The schwachest boy in the entire class. One of the Talmidim told me that. They said that someone in his class said, we used to laugh at him in the back of the class because he was like, he couldn't get it. Now he's laughing at us. How did that happen? Because he doesn't stop learning. He does not stop. We never even learned 1 second like Reb Chaim Kanievsky learns. Because the intensity, the focus that he has, because nothing else in the world makes a difference. It doesn't make a difference if he's hungry. It doesn't make a difference if he's tired. It doesn't make a difference if people are standing in the room. It doesn't make a difference. He's so zoned in. The famous story that someone came to the stipler to read a shidduch for Reb Chaim Kanievsky. I don't know if it was his wife eventually, but they were sitting at the table. The stipler was sitting at one end. Reb Chaim was his son, was sitting at the other end. This person was sitting there says, I'd like to speak to you about a shidduch for your son. He says, okay, so let's speak. He says, I'm a little uncomfortable. You know, he's right here. But he's learning. He doesn't hear you. I was in the room with a Rosh Hashiva myself. Reb Oizer, his name, Rabbi Abiezer Oizer, the Israelis will know him, you don't know him. I was sitting with the board of the yeshiva, whatever it was, and we're talking about the yeshiva, and he was just sitting there, and they're like, he doesn't hear you, I'm telling you, he doesn't hear you. He's learning. He will not hear you. We could say his name, we could talk about him, he is totally, and he was sitting there, I was looking for the smirk on it, so, zero, he's like, nothing. He's zoned in. This is a person, Reb Oizer, can say shir, he says shir every year for 7 hours straight, without a sefer. Straight. My brother-in-law goes to the shir. Straight. Without a sefer. Just looks up in the... Because when you are so zoned in that way and you learn with so much asmada, it just penetrates. So we have to have the courage to believe that we're capable of the same thing. You're jealous? So just do it. Just give it a shot. Give it a shot doesn't mean like, you know, I'll do a little bit here and there. Give it a shot means you got to go full force. Go all the way in. Constantly like constant drip on the rock and it'll penetrate. Me'ari zichrona levrocha. Isa. From the Arizal would say, Shagam kisha lamad poshut b'toyra. when the Arizal was learning Pashut Pshat in Torah, the Arizal. Kol kachis yageya, he was so focused, he was so like engaged. He was sweating bullets, and he was just learning Pashut Pshat. That's how hard these people were working. The Ata, and you, and me, Nimola Kala. We're barely anything compared to them. You don't even want to work? That's why it's so hard to learn. If we don't want to work, so then it's, I don't want to have to focus now and think. It's too hard. I'm too tired. Even before you sat down to learn, it's already too hard. Don't let it become like so serious by you until you're just going to give up. Don't give up. Even when you come to something that it seems so hard, it's like I can't crack it. Even the pashtus is difficult. Don't get down. This is too hard for me. I can't understand it. All that's going to do is make you even more like lazy or give up. And you're not going to work because you're not going to believe. You feel like you can't. You lost even before you started. Just think the following thing. It is difficult. I also have it inside of me to do this. I just have to work harder. I'm going to be mechazik myself. I can do this. The confidence that you can be successful in learning. It's the same thing when it comes to learning sifrei mefarshim. Anything a person is engaging, anything that has to do with ruchnius, if it's musr, if it's chasidus, kishata bala ayin, when you're coming to try to examine it, to try to learn it in depth, the lilmud b'sefer, and to learn out of a sefer, chashoyiv, you should think, shemaloch Hashem hoishit es roishoy min hashamayim, that there's like an angel that has stuck his head out from heaven, u'b'shem Hashem medaber eilecho. And in the name of Hashem, he's talking to you. Rabbi said, when we learn the Sefer, we should think that the Heilige Pia Setzna is coming down from Shemayim and he's teaching us his Torah. What was the Tzaddik up there? Terem Sholchoi Hashem lo ilam hazeh. Before Hashem sent him to this world. Where is he now? Maloch Sholach Hashem lo ilam hazeh. Hashem sent an angel to this world. Likroyas akriya, to read. Uledaber is called Dvarav Asher Sholcha Hashem, in order to give us his Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a gift, a piyasetzna rebbe. And this was a malach that Hashem sent to this world, to give us this sefer. Ukechaloysoy ledaber es Dvarav. When he finishes speaking, Shav ve'ola ledarko Hashemayimah. Goes back up. It's brought down from Chazal that when a person says over Torah from a tzaddik, so sifsoisov medabrois bekivroi, which means his lips are uttering in his grave, the tzaddik. In other words, while we're saying this Torah, the tzaddik is saying this Torah. The Heilige Tzaddik, he's teaching us this Torah. So what an opportunity. What a tremendous opportunity. Imagine if Chofetz Chaim would come to New Bloomfield. Chofetz Chaim would come to New Bloomfield. Everyone would want to come to hear the Chofetz Chaim. Not just to see the Chofetz Chaim, but to hear the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim is in New Bloomfield. Just open up a Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim is in New Bloomfield. He'll talk straight to you. But if a person doesn't put in the effort, he doesn't put in the effort. And you don't try to like to point your ears. And you don't make your ears like they're pointed to hear. With everything you have. Sometimes people listen. Like someone comes to a shir, a shmuz, and he's listening, but he's also, you know, playing with his phone, or he's playing with, you know, with his keys, or he's not really zoned in. He's not really, so he's listening, but he's not really listening. It happens. Then he's not going to connect. Would you not want to be a Talmud of the Mechaber? You know, I could have the audacity to call myself a Talmud of the Piasetzna. I've been learning a Sefer for almost 15 years, every single week, over and over and over. Not just, this is the one I learn over and over again. I've learned other Sfarim. I learned still, I'm learning Hachshar Sa'avreichim, Derech HaMelech, and Eish Kodesh, and all the Sfarim. And I just feel like I have a relationship with him. I feel like I have a relationship with the Piasetzna. I wish I had more, but a person can develop a relationship through a Sefer because he's talking to you. Re'eino ha-gemar brachas, oimeres. Any person that establishes a makom kavua for davening. Elokei Avram be'ezroi. Then the Elokim of Avram, the God of Avram, will assist him. U'kishemes. And when this person dies, oimrim alav, mi talmidom shel Avram Avinu. He is a Talmud of Avram Avinu. Every one of us can be a Talmud of Avram Avinu by being Kaveh Makom Letvilasai. What does that mean? Avram Avinu was the one who taught us that. That was Avram Avinu's lesson. Avram Avinu always davened in the same place. That was so when a person does that, he's becoming a Talmud of Avram. Ve'al Hil HaZokin Amru, Talmidu Shel Ezra. Hil HaZokin was a Talmud of Ezra. He was hundreds of years later. If you hear the words of a tzaddik, and you go in his path, you're a Talmud. Who is it that's not yearning? Talmud of Al Shem Tov, Hamagid Agodol, Hamagid Akvakoshnitz, Talmideim. The Mezhitz of Magid, the Koshnitz of Magid, these are the Hasidish Rebbes. Rabbi Kiva Eger, the Yisrael Mishorish Avoid, whoever is your safer, whatever is your thing. You can connect, but it has to be on a deep level. You have to hang on every single word that they say. You have to like really think about every single nuance of what they mean. And then you're in. You're in the inner circle. You've become their Talmud. Imargish, that's what he says. Now, the Rebbe gets practical. We're going to try to finish the parak. Imargish ata ayefus be'emtza limudcha. If a person gets tired while he's learning. Now, there's different ways with dealing with being tired. Kayadua. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz used to have buckets of ice water. That he'd keep his feet in the ice water to make sure that he wouldn't fall asleep. I know Yanky Bodenstein's father told me he once knocked on Reb Chaim Shmulevitz's door and he came, his pants were rolled up because his feet were in ice water and he had no socks, so he came barefoot, you know, like because his feet were in ice water. It's Yadua, Reb Nochum Pertzovitz, when he used to get tired, he used to take his stender, I won't do it because I'm afraid of breaking the floor. And he would slam his shtender on the floor like as hard as he could. Wake himself up. Wake himself up. I punch my talmidim when I do it. It's the same idea, though. But it's you do it. Reb Shaya Karastir had a gabbai whose job was to change the water, make sure the water would stay cold so he could stay up at night. People will fall off sleep. But you have to know if you're really being successful. Because sometimes you can try to fall asleep and you're just like, and nothing's going in your head, and you're like, your head's dizzy, and it's almost like pointless. Because you learned for a long time. Because of that reason, you're not learning with all of your strength, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. So if you're such a tapsik milimutcha, it's better you should take a break. 15 minutes, 15 minute break. Yes, maybe a little bit more, maybe. Yilama the chol ramas is atzmacha. L'shevis eitz al gemara v'loymed. V'loymer halo loymed. Why are you fooling yourself? You're sitting in front of gemara and saying, "I'm learning." You're not learning. Your head is just, it's you can't concentrate. You're learning is not worth anything. Mutav. Shetispatel hareva v'yachati shah v'yasrecha kil yoisecha lemor. And maybe your advisor is going to say, how could you walk out of the base medrash and not learn now? You're being vatal Torah. Maybe by resting, you'll be able to learn better. And I want to tell you something, and I feel very strongly about this. I think one of the major reasons why Bachrim are not as successful as they should be in learning is because they don't get enough sleep. Now, that might sound funny because I pride myself on the fact that I don't get a lot of sleep. But when I was a bachur, I used to sleep a lot. When I was a bachur, I was trying to like make breakthroughs in my learning. And I was trying to understand. If you're tired, you can't, if you don't have a normal sleeping pattern. And I know for sure in our yeshiva, a lot of bachurim don't have healthy sleeping patterns. They're just not sleeping normally. When I was a bachur, never went to sleep after 1 o'clock. Never. There was one night, Friday night was the only night, because I'd sleep Friday afternoon, I'd sleep Shabbos afternoon. So Friday night, that was our mishmar. We didn't do Thursday night mishmar, we did Friday night mishmar. That's the way we did it. Because I could sleep Friday afternoon, sleep. But aside for that, it never, ever went to sleep after 1 o'clock. One time, a friend of mine came from England to Pesach Yeshiva, and he had to talk to me, so I was up. That was and Mamish, I think in 3 years, oh, it was another time. Another time we got a little trouble, but that was whatever. That's a different story. It's Stauber, but whatever. I'm going to leave that alone. It was the only two times. But people need to, you need to have a clear head. People come to Seder and they're tired. Their head's not clear. They think that their coffees are helping them. Coffee makes you awake. It doesn't make you alert. So you can't really think clearly. And it's in a fog. Sometimes I'm learning and I'm tired and nothing goes into my head. I'm like, I can't follow. I keep losing my train of thought because I'm tired. We need to create normal sleep patterns. Go to sleep at a normal time, wake up at a normal time. Person wakes up refreshed, can daven like a mensch, can learn like a mensch. You'll see tremendous hatzlacha. I challenge you. It takes 2 weeks to make a sleep pattern. I've had people tell me, there's people in this room. It's like, I remember one bacher, I remember this very, very clearly, said to me, whenever I go to sleep early, I always end up sleeping late. So instead, I'm going to stay up late and then I'll get up on time. I'm like, does that make any sense? Does that make any sense at all? Problem is that we don't establish sleep patterns. It's not one night. It's like, okay, I'm going to sleep early tonight. That's not going to do it. A person needs 2 weeks to go to create a sleep pattern. So if you don't go to sleep on Tuesday night early and then Wednesday night early, but Thursday night, it's Thursday night, and Friday night, it's Friday night. And I slept the Shabbos afternoon. Okay, you have no sleep pattern. So then the next day, I don't know, I went to sleep, I couldn't fall asleep, it's not going to work. So I challenge you to try to get 2 weeks of solid sleep. I believe you will see a different you in the Beis Medrash, different you in davening, because with davening, we're tired, we don't have patience, we don't have energy, we just run through. You could actually enjoy your davening. You could try to connect with your davening. Davening can be the most beautiful experience. I wish I always had it, but sometimes I do. Sometimes I daven and I could just stay there because I'm like talking to Hashem. It's the most amazing thing when you get in that zone for real and you feel like you can unburden yourself to Hashem and Hashem's listening to you and you're there in your Hashem's presence, it's like the most amazing thing. And we were talking about it. We're talking about, you know, not talking during davening. I don't want to talk during davening. It's not that like I have this taiva, like, oh, wow, I wish I could talk during davening. Oh, I'm not allowed to, or, you know, I want to get to all the brachas of the Tosfos Yom Tov. I want to connect with davening because I do it so much in my life. So much of our life, we spend more time davening than practically anything else. So if we would just take the time to make it meaningful, if we would have the headspace, if our heads would be clear, and then you daven and it's like, wow, it'll change your life. If we would just get normal sleep patterns, it would change our life. So if a person feels like he needs sleep, so he has to make sure that he's getting his sleep. Nochain, finish here. When you're learning, do something physical to change yourself. You should have a special place. I think most of us know, if not all of us, Rabbi Stark has his learning room. You walk into the house, on the left, that's his ruchnius room. He's a lucky man. I mean, he's a special, he's lucky for that. That's the one. He has this room. This lucky. Akitzer, he has this room. He learns there. He davens there. It's a room of kedusha. He has that. That's, he gets into that room. He gets into a different zone. When a person learns, he's a shinui makom. Im efshe lecha shelo tilmad bebeischa tishtadel b'chol yecholto leleches al makom acher. If it's possible, don't learn in your house. Go to a place of learning. Vim ein lecha makom acher l'umo. You have nowhere else to learn. Hashem makom ahu nimtzoyim anashim b'teilim. Or if the place where there is to learn, other people are going to disturb you. You should have a special room. A special chair, a special corner, something. And there are something significant about this. Aside from the fact that a place that you set aside for Torah, Miskadesh, that place will have inherent kedusha. Umesugul yoisel atayra, make it easier for you to learn. Tayra, hasuya meatzma, hasiya beatzma. But the act itself, hashinoi shetase. When you do a change, ata bepoil begufcha latayra. When you do something physical, poielas l'shanois gam es machshavoy secha. You're putting yourself in a zone. In this room, I have a zone. I'm in a zone when I get into this room. This is my zone. And I know when I get there, I get into a certain groove. And just putting yourself in that place, it gets you there. And that po'elos l'shanas gamas machshavos secha v'shchol v'enasecha u'lahapsik kol psilehem asher chibru oisam ad ata l'inyoni ha'olam. You kind of like, you separate yourself from all the connections you have to this world. Just like the body, also your soul, also your thoughts. They'll awaken from their slumber. Enough. Enough of that. I'm putting all that away. That's the secular world. That's the mundane world. I have time for that. And I got time for this. Now I'm focused on my learning. I used to have a chavrusa. And he was a Zisa fellow. He's a Rav now. He had come to yeshiva from college. He was very, very fresh, let's just say. And I was learning with him. Didn't come from a particularly religious home. I think his father is a Shomer Shabbos, but he was like, this was when I was 16 years old, maybe 17. And he was in Shari Torah in Muncie. I was learning Shari Torah. Anyway, so he didn't really know what were like, you know, yeshivish norms so much. I didn't know that well either, but I knew better than him. But he had this thing that he bought us both yarmulkes. Big pointy yarmulkes. He said, these are our batala yarmulkes. You want a batal, you can change yarmulkes. So we learned. And anytime that it was time, we wanted, want a batal? Okay, time to put on the batala yarmulkes. here's the thing, we don't have these yarmulkes, look like dunce caps. He's going, it's like, it was sitting in the base measure. So like, hey, we're finished, take off. And it was really weird. But I think it served a purpose. I'm not suggesting anyone do it, but I just want you to understand, you know, like what, I think it served a purpose. It's like, because when we sat down, we're business, okay? You know, and if we're out, we're out, okay? We're making a shinui beguf. We're changing ourselves. But when you're in, you're in. Person's in the shul, he's not supposed to talk in Devarim B'Teilim in a shul. When you're in a base medrash, because you're in a zone. When you get into a shul, you get into a zone. That's the way it's supposed to be. So we have to try to create for ourselves that type of environment. Every person do it however it works for you, however it works. And when a person gets into a zone, he can block out all of the distractions and then he can focus. And it's amazing what can happen. Looking forward to next one.